David, whether you have a few weeks old puppy or a senior who's seen multiple decades, any dog person like me knows the most valuable thing in the world is spending time with your pet.
Yep.
The farmer's dog makes it easy to keep them healthy, which can give you more quality years with your lovely dog.
Yeah, well, I've heard Farmer's Dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food. And, you know, that's what everyone's looking for. It's recommended by vets, nutritionally balanced. It's made from human-grade ingredients, safe, clean kitchens. All that stuff matters.
Yeah. I mean, you love your dog. Why get the lousy food for your dog? Farmer's Dog is the best. Traditional dry and wet dog food options are extremely processed.
Sometimes
they use
dogs...
much lower quality. Yeah.
you put it in their bowl and they go, what is this kibble? And they knock it away. What is this canned goo?
Oh, yeah. I've had our dog, yeah, look at the bowl and then kind of crank its neck up and look at me. And it was like, really?
They go, really? Why don't you go first? You want a bite of this? Slop?
And it makes that sound.
Here you go, dog.
So Farmer's Dog isn't just higher quality food. They also send the food pre-portioned specifically for your dog based on their unique nutritional needs. It makes it easy to help your dog reach and stay at their ideal weight, David, and which is one of the biggest indicators of a full, healthy life. A fresh diet has been found to have all sorts of benefits, David, from healthier coat and skin, better breath, if you want to kiss your dog, and even easier digestion and smaller and better poops.
Let's look at a clip. It doesn't matter if your dog's young or old, it's always the right time to invest in their health for more happy years with your dog. Get 50% off your first box at farmersdog.com/fly.
Let the Farmer's Dog know we sent you. Use your code or click podcast after you sign up for your first box.
Now, the reason we brought you guys here is to talk about Wayne Gretzky.
We have a secret, though.
What is it? Oh, yeah.
So we have a
Let's
secret.
Tell them what happened.
But we got to tell you what happened.
Because a lot of people.
We get...
A lot of people
get letters.
A lot of people are saying, Dana and David, I don't know which podcast it was, but you guys talked over each other.
Dana?
You know
what? Okay. I was trying to illustrate it. I mean, you know.
I think they get it.
Okay.
They've heard
we talk
podcast.
Over each other a lot. There was a technical issue with our buddy Wayne Gretzky so that we could not talk over or laugh or make a sound when he was talking.
Fucking torture.
It was fucking amazing. I loved it.
So this is the test to you. What do you like better? Do you
this
like when
it.
We shut the fuck up and act professional and respect the guests?
Or when we're just...
Or when we're la, 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 and then...
We're giggling and we're laughing. If you want us quiet, this is your podcast. But just so you will listen to the podcast, Wayne Gretzky happened to be a great guest with this technical issue. He had great stories and I'd kind of signal to him. But for me personally, I had to wait and looking at his face on the Zoom and going, I think he's stopped talking.
Yeah.
We should start talking now.
It was very hard. We had a long pause and I go, because we would laugh during, like right at the beginning, I knew we were in trouble because he goes, when I started hockey and I go, I played hockey. And he's like, and you know, because
well,
I jump
was
over
it.
Him
because
and it would cut him out.
David, let's do it. This is us. I'm seeing him on the Zoom. He's seeing me. So we couldn't. He was saying stuff was making us laugh, but we literally, if we laughed at all, his sound would drop. So most of the time I'm seeing David do this.
Yeah, because we can't even like make one noise.
Yeah.
Because his sound cuts out.
He's the greatest, hockey player of all time. He's supernaturally humble about his stats. He's always saying, no, there's plenty of great hockey players out there. That's the best I could do.
That's good, yeah.
But he hosted SNL when I was there, and it turned out to be a really charming, great episode. So we talk about that. And that was a big moment in his life. These professional athletes who host SNL, it's kind of a badge of honor if your episode was good. And so he travels with that. And so that was a fun part.
We tried to get him to say he's good. He never
No, he wouldn't. But,
give
I go,
himself
but what
a
about
compliment.
The stats? Like no one has ever scored more than 100 points this season. He scored over 206 times. What about that? Well, I don't know. They're just stats. They don't mean much. You know,
sounds like one of the Wayne. Muppets in the balcony.
Wayne? Oh, I don't know. Well, it's the best I can do in a pinch, eh?
Yeah, he was great.
But
so
love Wayne Gretzky.
It's very different because there's pauses, so fucking deal with it.
And we don't even giggle when they're funny. You can't hear us, but we're just off mic.
And he says funny things and we can't. We're not allowed to do anything. Okay, that's all. You'll figure it out.
Wayne Gretzky.
Write us your comments. Where? I don't know.
I heard that David actually is a speed golfer. Like he walks up the ball and hits it. And according to John Lovitz, is a pretty darn good player.
Yeah, but anybody look good playing beside John Lovett?
Well, right off the bat.
Why do you say
blasphemy?
That?
I didn't mean just David. I mean all of us.
Yeah.
No one can golf, basically. I'm always surprised a guy who's shooting like 120, swearing and swinging the club and angry. I'm going, dude, you're going to shoot 120. Why are you angry? Just have fun.
You know, Wayne is, I've seen him out at Sherwood, and the infuriating thing about him, among other things, is he's pretty good hockey, and he's very good at golf. And he, yeah. Well, you're better than
Wayne,
me. Yeah,
Wayne, are you good at golf? Just a question.
I'm very average at best.
Well, Dana, he smoked me, so.
Well, if you with legal rules, no mulligans on a PGA course, could you? If I said the word 90 as a score, would that sound familiar, high or low?
If I could play the senior tees, 60 years old and over.
Do they move those up? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, you know, I can't play back where my son-in-law plays. I'd shoot 120.
So your son-in-law is one of the best golfers in the world. So that must be weird going out and playing with Dustin Johnson, I assume.
No, no. You know what's funny about it? Everybody always says to me, the first question is always, how many shots does he give you? You think I'm stupid? He's always my partner.
Oh yeah. That's a very smart move.
I think I saw a scorecard at Shadow Creek of maybe it was you and Dustin, maybe you guys were all playing, but it was a very low scorecard.
Yeah, he's
when you playing with a pro and it's just for fun, are they almost extra great in a way because they're so relaxed? Do they take more chances or they're just kind of laissez-faire?
They're all different, but I will tell you this. I play a lot, obviously, more with Dustin than any of them. He's so cordial to everybody on the course. He loves to help people. If you guys played with him, you would walk off the course and say, what a wonderful guy, how nice he was. And I don't care who you are. You get nervous playing with him. I still get a little bit nervous, even though we play a lot together. You don't want to embarrass yourself, right?
Yeah. No, I've heard that from other people too, what a gentleman he is. And that must be great to have a son-in-law that is so cool.
Dwayne, I got to play with Tiger to get a lesson for one of his shows or something. And
I saw the show.
Oh, you did? Okay, so you know it was a knee clacker. It didn't talk about nerves. And even though he couldn't be cooler and, you know, obviously bored to tears with me, but he was super cool, super cordial, helpful, gave me, in so much pain. He was in so much pain then. Wayne, this was, you know, the day before the accident. So it was his last, not round, but I did five holes with him, but, I told everyone it was 18, but we did five. And then, you know, he'd tell me how to get out of the bunker. He'd get down and give me reads. And I remember asking him then, do you think you'll ever play again? I don't even know why I asked him that, because he was so sore from a back operation. And then he crashed the next day. And I thought, oh, I don't think he'll play again. And then he was better than me within minutes. Again.
Well, few athletes come around the world as good as he is and was. I can tell you this, the respect that he has, not only from people like you and myself that see him play and watch him, but I can remember 4 and 5 years ago asking Dustin, what do you guys think? Do you think he can win another major? And there wasn't one guy that said, no, he won't win another one. They all to a man said, you know what? He's so unique and so good, he's going to win another major. Little did I know that would be the Masters that Dustin came second in. I said, Dustin, of all the majors he's got to win, he's got to beat you by one.
Oh, man. One of the most chilling moments in sports was him winning that. I'm sorry about your son-in-law, but I was just such an incredible comeback. And, you know, you're in that pantheon. I mean, you are, people talk about Tiger Woods and, you know, it's a really small group up on Mount Rushmore in athletics. And you're up there with Tiger, and That's why we're happy to have you on the show.
Well, I'm thrilled to be on the show because obviously, you know, both of you guys, but I'm big fans of both of you guys. And more importantly, you're both good people. And it's my pleasure to be here today.
Oh, well, that's nice. Dwayne, do you remember the day you went from the pretty good one to the great one? Walk us through that day.
He was two.
You're not going to want to hear this because I was 10. And it was so silly. I was 10 years old. I scored 400 goals on that team. And so when I was five, and I got one goal, and I remember I cried on the way home at the end of the year. And my dad said, "Don't worry, you're going to be okay." And I was like, "I only got one goal, but I got 400 goals." And this guy, a writer, he wrote every good athlete has a nickname, and he nicknamed me at the age of 10, the great one. And I was so mad. None of my teammates ever called me that. None of my friends ever called me that, but it kind of stuck with me for life. And I've had it since I was 10.
Wow. What was your nickname, David, when you were 10? Mine was Knucklehead.
Mine was Shrimp Cocktail. And, didn't love it. Actually, I had read that your dad had helped you with all that. And I remember when I was four, my dad gave me a Nerf football and then he drove off and that was it. So we have not a similar well, situation.
Well, at least you had a parting gift. I don't want to
I didn't know it was a parting gift. He goes, "Hey, play the dad home game. Here's a football and get fucked."
It's a point of view. But obviously you talk a lot about your relationship with your dad. And I was just curious about your whole family playing hockey outside at night and just this whole culture of hockey. Well, your dad was just a crazy fan, right? Of the sport, of the game.
You know what? He really wasn't. It was more me than my dad. When I was like 3 and 4, he would take me to outdoor parks and ponds because we couldn't afford to skate indoors. And I would skate all day. And he decided one day, he said, "You know what? I can't take this anymore. I'm going to build a rink in the backyard so I can sit in the kitchen and drink hot tea and watch him in the backyard." So he never pushed me. I get parents that ask me all the time, they'll say, "Will you tell my son how many hours a day he used to practice?" And I would say, "You know, I never practiced. It was just, that's what I loved to do."
Yeah.
From 9 in the morning to 6 at night, have dinner. Sometimes I'd skate 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night in the backyard by myself. And people would say, "Don't you think you're missing something? You're, you know, hanging out with your friends, going to movies." I never thought I missed anything. And there was passion in my love, but my dad and mom both supported me, but they never pushed me one time, ever. It was never even an issue in my house. So, you know, our house is really unique because my five kids are older now. I have a daughter that plays tennis at SMU. I had a son who was a golfer, but now he's at NYU taking business. I had a son that got drafted by the Cubs. And I have an older son who loves hockey and does hockey clinics around the world with him and I. And we have, you know what? There was never any pressure from me. I never pushed them. Listen, sports is our life. I've got to travel the world. I got to meet some wonderful people, some great opportunities. And it's all because I had a love and a passion for a sport, and nobody ever pushed me.
Well, for all you pushy parents out there, know that, you know, but it's
But I will tell you, it's the greatest thing in the world, whether you're 6 years old or a professional athlete, to look in the stands and see your mom and dad and your spouse there. The support is so important. Every athlete will tell you the exact same thing.
Did you ever do fantasy sports? Because when I was a kid, you know, it'd be like shooting and it's good. Did you ever like out there by yourself go and Gretzky's coming in and Gretzky passes off. It's back to Gretzky. Gretzky scores. Did you have fantasies in your head as a little kid by yourself on the ice at 10 o'clock at night?
Every day. But it was Gordie Howe. I always idolized Gordie Howe. At 5 years old, I got a Gordie Howe hockey jersey for Christmas. My parents could have rewrapped it every year and I would have been happy. We didn't have a lot of money. It's been fine by me. So Gordie was my guy. Everything was Gordie Howe scores game seven, overtime, hat trick for Gordie Howe. Yeah, we all did it. Every one of us. And if you're saying you didn't do it, you're lying, because we all did it.
What did you think when you first met Gordie Howe? That must have been intense.
Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you my Gordie Howe story. So I met him when I was 10. And, you know, when you meet your idol sometimes in sports that, you know, you go, well, it was okay. Or your parents say, how was it meeting Gordie? And I remember I told my dad, I said, you know, he's bigger and better and nicer than I even had in my mind. And then at 16 years old, I played with his youngest son, Murray, who went on to become a doctor. He's a doctor in Detroit. We played together and we'd get on the team bus. And Murray was a real diligent student and he would have all these books. And every time I get on the bus, I'd sit with Murray and Murray would say, Wayne, where are your books? And I go, well, okay, next game, books. So this one game, I came walking on the bus and I had six books and I went to sit down beside Murray and he goes, I'm glad to see you're taking this seriously. He says, what do you got? Geometry, math, English? And I said, well, I got Gordie Howe, how to be a great hockey player, Gordie Howe hockey tips, Gordie Howe lessons. I said, you want to be a doctor? I want to be Gordie Howe.
did he ever write a book, How to Be Gordie Howe?
Well, I know one thing. When I was a kid, you'll laugh at this because I was like 6 years old and I sat down in the barber's seat. My mom took me to get a haircut and they said, Mrs. Gretzky, what do you want to do to his hair? And I turned to the barber and I said, can I get a Gordie Howe haircut? That's how much I like Gordie Howe.
Wow. Well, David, you had similar thoughts about me, right? Because I'm a little older.
When I saw Dana, actually, I ran into my dad when I was 20 and he goes, I guess you didn't make the NFL. I go, what? He goes, I gave you that football. What a gold bricker. He said it was two colors. You were spoiled. No, I was a skateboarder, Wayne. And, you know, I think it's nice. It'd be nice to be in your position. I think Dana and I have it in a smaller way. But when you do something and you see these guys, like if I ran into Dan Aykroyd, you know, I was the same way with comedy. I think Dana was too. So you run into a guy that Steve Martin, someone you grew up listening to albums or the exact same scenario. And if they turn out to be cool, yeah. It's very nice. And then if anyone says hi to me just because they saw something, and if it's even close to that scenario and they're probably going to only see me once, and you know, they run into me at the Cheesecake Factory or something, if you can be nice for 1 second, that's going to probably be it for them. You know, they're not going to run into you again. What are the chances? So I try. I know Dane is very cool to people. And I know, Wayne, I saw you out at the golf course and always cool to everyone, even Kid Rock. You were nice to everyone. By the way, Kid Rock is a great singer, Dana. And if you don't believe me, ask him.
And has Robert been in the news lately?
As what?
Has Robert been in the news lately?
Oh, yeah. You know, that's why I always crop him out of my photos on Instagram. I can't take the comments.
Well, for our listeners, just to reiterate, you still have 61 records, right? Or is that just Wikipedia stuff or NHL records?
I honestly don't keep track of it, but whenever I go somewhere, that's what they say. So you would know as much as I do, honestly.
I tried to put you in context for other people. I don't even know how to do it because you were weren't you the best player in the world by the time you're 17?
No. But let me say this. People ask me this all the time, you know, because it's all subjective, right? It's what you believe. And so for me, I always say that Ali, Jordan, and Tiger were the three greatest athletes that I ever saw. And I happened to get to know three of them, and they were all really nice to me. So listen, that's the great thing about sports, right? We sit around and we debate who is the best team, who is the greatest athlete, who is the best hockey player, who is the best baseball player. It's all debatable. There's so many great athletes. It's like your business. There's so many good people in your business. You can't just sit there and say, well, this guy is the greatest ever. There's so many good people. It's all personal choice.
Yeah, I mean, there are a few stats that are at least eye-popping, but there's others. You know, 10 MVPs, or, I mean, you scored over 200 points. No one else.
David, let me, Dana, let me explain.
I've got the stats.
He won the Hart Trophy, which is
he's
for
really
being
good.
Yes, the nicest. The Hart Trophy is for the nicest person, I think. I don't really know how it works, but he has a big heart, and you can tell. And he has. Reading his Wikipedia, you know that we don't know, and we're not laughing during while you're talking, Wayne, because it cuts out. So this is killing Dane and I. We can't laugh over you, and we can't talk over you, and it's killing
us. Smiling
because if you think we're not doing it, it's because you cut out. So we have to be. We're training ourselves. So yeah. I do love all this shit about him, but he doesn't like to talk about himself. I can tell. But
I have an interesting question. Maybe. Yeah. Well, I found it fascinating that. As a young man, you had to move out of your hometown because you were so famous, and you're like 14, you move with a family. And what I found interesting, because I, you know, have kind of a fear of flying. I'm not terrible, but I'm, and that you were flying around in a DC-3 that could only go to 9,000 feet, going around as a 14-year-old in a hockey league. What was that like?
It was horrible. I really got over it because of it. All I could think of was it Ricky Valens that died in a DC-3? We were always right in the middle of the worst weather you can ever imagine. And I think Edmonton and Calgary is cold. Sault Ste. Marie gets more snow and is colder than Edmonton, trust me. So it was a tough year, but you know what? I got through it and everything worked out okay.
Now for a word from our sponsors at Betterment. Let's talk about hustle culture. You know, the whole rise and grind, go big or go home thing. It's a lifestyle that may not be for you, but one that your money can handle thanks to Betterment. Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. How? Their automated technology optimizes your investments again and again. With Betterment, your money is taking ice baths at 5 a.m. while you get your well-deserved rest. Your money downs protein smoothies and automatically reinvests your dividends all before you head out the door. Your money's a workaholic, but you don't have to be because you've got Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
And then you tried to help me, dovetailing to your great SNL appearance. Because we talked about it, and you'd said, I'll tell you at the end of the week, doing the week of SNL, how to get over your fear of flying. And you wouldn't tell me all week. And then when the show ended, you said one word, helicopters. Explain that.
Oh, it was stay out of an airplane if you don't like it. There's no. I've done everything. I've been a hypnotherapist. I've been in simulators. I've flown with the best pilots in the world. It's just a, listen, I've never had a speeding ticket in my life, and I don't like heights, so it's a bad combination. Hmm. Although I'm a little bit older, I'm better. Janet and I traveled to the Caribbean two or three times this winter. I'm doing things that I used to not do because I said, you know what, I don't need to get an airplane. But either you're comfortable flying or you're not. There's no in between, and it's as simple as that.
Wow. Well, I'm a kindred spirit. I feel for you. If it's good weather and it's going good and it just everything feels good, I can start to relax and enjoy it. Mostly it's weather driven or something happening.
I'm the same as you. I check the weather. I know where we're flying to. I hate flying into places like Aspen and places that or Phoenix at 2 p.m. in June.
I tried a helicopter once, like you guys are talking about. I'm sort of in the middle with flying. Don't love it. It makes no sense to me, so it's hard. And the bumps, of course. But that first helicopter, the guy goes, before we get on, how much do you weigh? And I'm like, I don't know, more like 145. He goes, more like 146 or 144. I go, this can't matter. Why does it matter? He goes, well, you're going to have to sit on the left. We got to even it out. I don't like that it's that close. And then when we heard these noises, he goes, you know what? These things have a way of figuring themselves out in the air. Let's go for it. I'm like, wait, what? Well, so when you're doing that and it's like an imprecise science of I'm on some jalopy and I don't know any history of it. Dana's smart enough. He looks up every flight he's on, looks up the pilots. Smart. It helps a little.
I was on a private jet once where it was for a corporate gig, and the two pilots that were full board, just me with two young guys, and then they aborted the takeoff. And then they start really fighting, like yelling at each other, fuck you, man, it was my fault. They're screaming. I'm going, should I get off this plane? Then they kind of calm down, so we're going to try it again. But they were mad at each other the whole flight. So stuff like that, it's just weird. Of course.
Try it again. What the fuck?
Wayne, can we dovetail into your SNL appearance?
Yeah, let's do.
Okay, I will walk you through it. So I'm flying in the airplane, and Lawrence's office had called me and asked me to do Saturday Night Live. And I said, are you out of your mind? I spent the year with Larry and Dee Dee Gordon and Jerry Bruckheimer, two of the best people in the industry. And I'm like, I don't want anything to do with having to act. Or I said, you know what? Thank you. I appreciate the offer. I was on an airplane. I was flying to the East Coast. I was going to the Kentucky Derby. And I was reading the newspaper, and in the newspaper, it said Wayne Gretzky to host Saturday Night Live. And I didn't even, actually, I pulled the paper down. I looked at my wife and I said, okay, I know you called Lorne. She goes, you're going to thank me at the end of the week. And that's how live. And let me tell you, I was so nervous the whole entire time from Tuesday, even taking the pictures on Tuesday, I was nervous. But I want to tell you, between Dana and Mike, and Dennis Miller, John Lovitz, and our hometown boy, Phil Hartman, they took me under their wing every single day. Every half hour, they'd say, don't memorize a word. Don't worry about anything. We got you covered. Just go with the flow. If you make a mistake, we'll cover you up. So I said, okay, I feel good. I can get through this. And then I got really nervous when I'm standing behind the door at 11:33. Gentleman says, don't go out there on the first name of Wayne Gretzky. When they say Wayne Gretzky the second time, I'm going to open the door. You go out. And I said, okay, I got that. So they say Wayne Gretzky. I don't move. And he told me, the old guy, and he said, don't be nervous. There's probably 25 million people watching live. And that's when I got nervous.
Who would say that? Oh, my God.
The guy, and I went, you got to be kidding me. So we went up, and I was so fortunate. We had the Fine Young Cannibals were the music group that year. It was kind of a interesting time because I really was excited to do it. I was thrilled. There was so much Canadian content on the show that they helped carry me through it. But I ended up having a riot. I had a ball. I'm glad my wife said, you're doing the show. Dana and Mike, and as I said, Phil and John especially, couldn't have been nicer. And Lauren was really special to me. And somebody said, did you make any mistakes? And I said, I don't think I really made any mistakes. And they said, would you ever do it again? And I said, no, because I can make mistakes the next time I'm done. So it was one of those things. I'm so thrilled that I did it. I'm proud of it. And gosh, it was a lot of fun. Dana and Mike made it a lot of fun.
Well, Mike, as you know, being a Canadian, and I know he has a Canadian order. You guys all get like awards. I don't know what your order of something is, but yeah. Mike was so excited you were there. And we all knew the idea of a professional athlete has never done sketch comedy, and now he's going to do live sketch comedy. So we all understand how insane it is. Liked you. Go ahead.
Like putting you on the ice.
To dovetail to that, so we did a pre-tape, which is just a funny memory of my time on SNL involving Wayne here. I we didn't really play hockey out in California at that time. So I was playing Garth, and we're doing a pre-tape, and where Wayne, our Mike Myers Wayne, is going to beat the real Wayne, and your wife is looking, whatever the sketch was, it was very funny, but I was trying to get my skates on and lace them up. So Wayne gets on one knee and helps me lace up my skates. And I go, that's kind of cool. You know,
it's unbelievable.
And then I got up and I held the hockey puck, but I wasn't doing it right. So Wayne goes, excuse me, hold it like this. So I just thought, Is this like Babe Ruth teaching you how to like stand in the and swing a bat? So anyway, that was quite a thrill. And you're incredibly nice, as people know listening to this. I don't know. There's a phrase, Canadian nice. I think it's cultural, but you were so sweet. And before we get into the minutiae of the show, what happened was the show just caught fire on air. And you caught fire on air. And that really stood out to me. The show really landed live. And that doesn't always happen. So
you guys were the best. I could never do it again because you guys were so good.
By the way, I saw the clip of him and Victoria Jackson, and you got that spade feathered hair. My hair was exactly that look back then. It was like way back. I don't know if that was a wig or it was your hair, because sometimes in the show they put you in a wig that looks like your hair.
No. Let me tell you something. So we do all these skits, right? And as you guys know, they do, I guess, 4 or 5 extra skits that go in the rehearsal shoot at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Calls me in the office and says, okay, I'm going to tell you one thing. It shows okay, but if you want to be different, you got to do the singing scene, the Elvis role, quote, the Elvis role. You got to sing. I go, Lauren, I have no rhythm. I have nothing. He goes, no, it'll be good. We'll tape it. You can mime it or whatever you call it. So I said, okay. So I remember Paulina would be about 6 months old, and I was changing her diaper, and I was singing the song, rehearsing on Friday, the day before the show, because I didn't want to mess up all the words.
You're singing to her.
Sort of like an Elvis Presley character with Victoria as we're on the, water skis. But you know what? I'm glad I did it, and it was wonderful. Those, as you know, you guys are all great on that show.
Well, we had a lot of practice, you know, but we in that sketch, Waikiki Hockey, I think it was called, I think I fake skied in. You were with Victoria, and then I skied in, and then I think you did a fake punch and knocked me out of the frame. But all week, I knew we were going to be side by side with our shirts off. So I was like, you know, I was just kind of kidding, like, we'll see who's got what, you know. I was doing push-ups all week, you know. And then I realized when I saw your build, I mean, you're built, but you weren't, you said it's all really in the legs. You don't even, you're not a bruiser. You're a technician and an artist. So you kept the upper body lighter, right?
And you know, it's ironic about that scene, and people might not know this. They wanted me to hit like this piece of steak off a table. Guy standing there with a sort of a can of some kind, and I'm to hit it into the can, and I couldn't believe I knocked it in, but Conan O'Brien was holding the can. He was one of the writers on the show. And so every time I'd see him, he goes, you know, I caught that steak.
He was the steak catcher. How fun. But what a great time. I mean, you know, Dana, I don't think I had many athletes when I was there. I think we had Michael Jordan, which is a good one to have. And, he was the same way, like out of the element, perfectly normal to be freaking out. Listen, Dane and I are supposed to be good at it. We're in sketches that bomb all the time. That's just the luck of the draw, and you can't always nail it. It's not always under your control. But when you see athletes come on, it's just really fun. And if they try stuff, like if you're singing, or everyone knows this isn't what you do. It's kind of just fun to watch this train wreck in a way.
Well, Waikiki, Hawaii, like the show was going on live, and I'm not exactly sure where it was, but I remember like roars coming from over that side of the studio, and then looking at a monitor or something and seeing you become Elvis, you know, and I thought there was a charisma to your commitment. And Elvis was shy, but then he also had this great confidence, and that's what I think creates charisma. So when you did that in that moment, I don't know if your wife said it to you, were a rock star. Look at the tape.
Yeah. By the way, I'm not saying your show is a train wreck. I'm saying sometimes if things go sideways, it's never really the athlete's fault, because they're just put in a ridiculous situation. But it is fun to watch, because sometimes some sketches go really well and everyone's like, hey, pleasantly surprised. But yeah, going back twice is probably tough. You get a feel for it. You get the nerves out. By the end of the show, you're like, I did it. It's a bucket list. Done. Can't deal with it.
Thank you.
Oh, this is DraftKings.
Stockholder, just a disclosure, I own DraftKings. shares.
You don't own all of it, do you?
I wetted my beak. I took a taste.
I did a party for this guy at Gillette Stadium for his wife's birthday. And I did my crummy stand-up act. In full disclosure. I play DraftKings when I do fantasy football. So I do have it. Rewind it back to the days of chillaxing on the beach and all-day fun with spring break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like fan fave Rocket. The excitement is endless, the vibes are right, and the cash prizes
could be
huge.
Could be huge.
You like money? I don't know. Dan, do you like money?
Oh, I don't know. I could take it or leave it, but I like DraftKings, I'll tell you that much.
Some people don't like money. If you don't like money, don't play. New players, start playing with just $5 and get $100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code FOTW to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Listen up, Dana. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. 21 plus.
Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. Eligibility and other restrictions apply. One per opted-in new customer. $5 wage required max. $100 in casino credits awarded, which require one-time playthrough within 168 hours. See terms at casino.com, DraftKings.com/promos. Restrictions apply.
I had to learn. Oh, hey.
Que pasa?
Is that what they say when you walk into sushi?
I think that's what's happening in Spanish. Que pasa? Que pasa? David Ospero.
I had a difficulty learning German in high school. It's a very tough language. I did it through textbooks and a teacher. I would have rather had Rosetta Stone.
You know, you not being able to learn German is very, very interesting.
But stupid. Now, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. We know this. Available on desktop as an app. Truly immerses you in the language you want to learn.
Yeah, this is planning a trip to Italy. And I think Rosetta Stone is my ticket to speak a better language.
Hey,
I want a pizza pie. But I'll be saying it in Italian. Hey, I want a pizza pie. Sounds like
that's better
English, but it's still, that was
they
Italian.
Say, do you want to sound perfectly fluent or do you want to sound like Ratatouille?
Honestly, trusted experts for 30 years, David, with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Do you want to hear some?
Yeah, the
Spanish,
big ones.
Spanish, French, Italiano, Sturman, Korean, Chinese, Chinese,
careful,
Dutch, Arabic, Polish.
Fast language acquisitions. Rosetta Stone.
Should I read that straight?
It immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and you think in the language, Dana. That's the hard part.
No, I do like their process. The intuitive process picks up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention, David, because we all took Spanish in high school, and all we can say is, ¿Dónde está la biblioteca?
Yeah.
I can find a library, but nothing else. Rosetta Stone is a game changer.
It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient. We said the desktop, the app options, audio companion. You can do it offline. It's amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages. For any and all trips and language needs in life, that's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. That is a steal. I'll say that in English, a steal.
Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Fly on the Wall listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
Visit rosettastone.com/fly. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/fly today.
So let's break them down a little bit for fun for real SNL fans. So you got to work with the great Phil Hartman, God rest his soul.
Great.
One of the best people ever and greatest cast members. And he did a character called the Anal Retentive Man. And this one, he was an anal retentive fisherman, and you were fishing with him. And you got to see him up close to his character and hang out with Phil. What are your memories of that sketch?
So it was really, it was amazing because when I first met Phil, and you can ask anybody that I know or you know, one thing I know about is every celebrity that ever went to Hollywood, if they're Canadian or not, I knew every guy. And probably because of my friendship with Alan Thicke over the years, I just learned all the way back to Lorne Greene, who was Canadian, right? And when I got to SNL, I didn't realize Phil Hartman was Canadian. And the first thing he said to me is, you know, I'm Canadian. And I went, oh my gosh, I really didn't know that. And he goes, well, and I'm from your hometown. I'm from Brantford, Ontario. And I was so embarrassed. I looked at him and I said, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. And so him and I, we chatted the whole week. He went to the same high school as my mom went to back in whenever. It was amazing because he said, I want to do this anal retentive fisherman skit. And you know, it's more like a talk show, which is comfortable for me. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's fine. And so we're sitting in the boat at dress rehearsal one day. And I said to him, I said, you know, Phil, I'm sorry, I didn't really realize you're from Brantford. And secondly, I said, the one thing I hated doing with my dad as a kid was fishing. So I mean, I had a good chuckle. He used to tell me stories about where he grew up and what area. I was so impressed by him, and he was so nice to me, and I'm so happy that I got to do that sketch with him. Because he carried the whole thing. As you guys know how talented he was. He said, Wayne, just play off of me. And, you know, if you mess it up, I'll just cover it up. And I said, okay. And that's really kind of how you guys carried every sketch. You guys are so professional.
I watched that sketch, and you just handled it great, and you get eaten by a giant fish at the end.
Yeah, we don't give it away, Dana. You know, I think fishing, he doesn't like fishing because it's really melted ice, and that drives him crazy.
Yeah, I like it frozen.
So there was another sketch that I love the rehearsal because this, it made me laugh because we were all these celebrities trying to give you advice
on the locker
in the locker room. So Phil once again was playing Jack Nicholson. I was doing Travolta, and we're just giving you like really inane advice. But anyway, every time Phil would talk to you in the rehearsal, he would say, great one, just like Jack Nicholson saying that. And every time I saw your head go down and you were just laughing your ass off over and over. So speak to that.
I know. I pulled him aside on the Saturday, you know, Saturday, as you guys know, is a long day. And I said, Phil, just don't say great one too many times and embarrass. But you know what? Listen, I remember Dennis Miller was playing the owner of the team also. And Dennis was standing there. He had a suit and tie on, and he was trying to be serious. And every time I looked at him, I kind of started to giggle. Because I think at the time, he was doing Weekend Update. And I'm like, okay. And I would kind of giggle and chuckle. But you know what? It was all good.
Dennis is so funny. I don't know what his attitude was there. It must have been, all right, you know, come on now. Let's listen to these actors, okay? They're going to show you how to play hockey, all right? Hey, Johnny T, what do you got? And I was Travolta, and my only advice to you was, you know, maybe everybody could just rush at the net, like, really, really fast. Like, everybody goes right at the net, just super fast.
And I don't know if, Wayne, you golf with Dennis, but when I was younger, you know, Dennis is probably my favorite comic, and we got to hang out right when I got SNL, or right before I was opening for him. I used to open for Dana, too, and they were always nice, but Dennis and I were playing in Palm Springs. He drives all the way out to Palm Springs. The first crazy thing is he goes, all right, Spudley, we're going to play, you know, wherever out there. And I go out and he goes, all right, so you got your car, follow me. I'm like, follow you 3 hours to Palm Springs? We can't ride together? And then we get out there and on the first hole, one thing I do is I go, hey, it was a par five. I go, where's the flag? He goes, Spudley, you don't have to worry about the green for another fucking 12 shots. Just hit it. I go, oh, okay. And then he goes, and then he duffs two shots. He goes, let's get the fuck out of here. I'm going home. I go, back to LA? I go, dude, don't have this much of a temper. Goddamn.
That's Dennis.
Wayne doesn't know this, but I was sort of the Dave Semenko of SNL.
Oh, I like that you got that name.
Just read it off the computer. I was sort of the enforcer and regulator. Like when I was around Farley and people would bump him, they would go to start a fight and they'd look at me behind him and they go, okay, all good, you know, because they knew I'd jump in. Well, who was that guy, Wayne? What is your remembrance of Dave Simenko?
Well, he was amazing because probably the toughest, maybe toughest athlete, toughest hockey player I ever saw, and the nicest man. He would never try to hurt anyone. We were playing a game one time, and I knew the kid on the other team, and he was kind of bumping him, and I said, hey, stay away from him. I want to fight you. Stay away from him. And the kid just kept going back at him. So finally, he dropped his gloves. He threw one punch, and two guys carried him by our bench, and his nose was sideways. And I was sitting on the bench, and I said to him, I told you to stay away from him. But he was so by not only his teammates, but he was kind of a hero in Canada and in Edmonton. Blue-collar guy, hard worker. Just, I can't say enough good things about him. He meant so much to my career.
And I don't know, people aren't as familiar with hockey, is that you would have players or teammates that part of their job was to protect you, right? Or you, how come you didn't get hurt so much? Because weren't they trying to hurt you or jam you up against the wall?
Yeah, I would have tried to hurt me. I just sixth sense, I guess, and part of it was luck, quickness, you know, just to get out of the way. You know, when I turned pro in 1978, I was 148 pounds. I remember the first day in the locker room, players were looking at me going, there's no way this kid is going to survive playing against men. And, you know, I started at six, and when I played against 11-year-olds, I just learned how to protect myself because I was always the smallest guy. And even when I turned pro at 17, I was playing against them with men. And that's just the way I did it. I promised my dad I would finish high school, and I did. I played with men who treated me like a teammate and yet respected me as a person. And I was very lucky.
Did you pay attention to, like, nutrition? I mean, what was your pregame meal back in those days, in the 70s?
It was awful. You know, every game day, though, I would eat steak and potato at 12:30. I never changed from the age of 16 to the day I retired. But in those days, you know, in between periods, I'd have a piece of pizza, chocolate bar, a sandwich. I just, you know, knowledge is everything, right? From concussions, we know more about it. Nutrition, fitness, training. These athletes today are so much better, just the knowledge they have. So, yeah, it was a different time, a different era. I bet there's a lot of professional athletes today have never even seen a cheeseburger or a hot dog. That's just, they're so dedicated now, and they have such an understanding that we didn't know, right? We didn't understand.
And also, I don't know if this is real, but a number that LeBron would throw out, or maybe Seth Curry, is about $1 million a year spent on their body. I guess between the full-time body work person and cryo chambers and I don't know what, but it seems extraordinary now what professional athletes do.
Hey, listen, you know, Dustin's in an individual sport. He has his own personal trainer that he's had for 10 years. He has a personal chef that goes to tournaments, and they eat properly, they rest properly, they have a masseuse. You know, they're doing it properly, right? They understand this is their livelihood. Whereas back in our day, when you got to be 40 years old, you're relatively older, right? It's a difference.
Yeah. If you look at, All in the Family, remember that show, Dana? Archie Bunker? He was 21. He was 21 when they shot that. No, he looks old.
Stifle yourself, Edith.
No, but it's true. I mean, I think golfers are, at first it was basketball players where they were all lanky in the old days, and now they're all ripped. And then I think golfers are all getting stronger, and hitting it farther. And I think it's just part of it. Everything's just getting better, stronger, people living longer, people playing longer.
Well, listen, every sport has changed. Baseball athletes today are better shape. Football players are bigger and stronger. Golfers are. Tiger changed all that when he became an athlete, training and lifting weights and running. And it has a trickle down effect. Tom Brady, what he did in football. It's a different world. Look at Djokovic and Federer. Federer is 41 playing well. Borg retired at 26. It's just a different.
Yeah. And also, the one thing I don't know if I was trying to figure out anything equivalent in other sports. It seems like that your special gift was, I don't know what the exact quote was, but don't go to where the puck is, go to where it's going to be. So if Brady's a quarterback and he's seen all this stuff happening on the field, opportunities squashed, maybe an all in split seconds. Is that equivalent? Is that related at all to what makes a great hockey player, being able to see the whole vision of the ice and anticipate?
Right. Yeah, I think that there's a couple of things. One, you're right about that. The vision, the sixth sense of understanding what is out there in front of him. And there's a lot of great athletes that have that. And then there's the special athletes like Jordan, Tiger, Brady, Federer, Djokovic, Nadal, that you can't teach being able to play under pressure. And either you welcome the challenge and you want to be there in that minute, in that moment, or you can't handle it. And there's two different kinds of athletes. Some guys relish it. Right now you look at a kid like Patrick Mahomes, he relishes being in that spotlight and taking on that pressure. LeBron always takes on that pressure. Brady did. In our game, guys like Mark Messier and Mara Lemieux, they welcomed that challenge of being in game seven and being in the spotlight. And that's when they became their best. That's when they became better athletes. So you can teach a guy everything you want to teach him. If he can't handle the circumstances, if they can't handle the pressure, it's all for naught. And there's some athletes that handle it better than others, and some guys just, they have a tough time under that microscope. But the great athletes, and I go back to watching George Brett hit and McEnroe play tennis and Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, the bigger the game, the better they played. And they just, it was like what you talked about, one of your first questions to me. Did you dream about this as a kid? Game seven, scoring the winning goal or winning basket. That's what those guys did. And you could see the smile on their faces. The bigger the game, the happier they were. And that's why they became who they became.
Yeah. Do you see that in present generation? There's Austin Matthews, who's from my town of Scottsdale. There's Sid Crosby. Do you know these guys? Do you see them? Do you talk to them?
Yeah, I know them all pretty well. We're at a crossroads here. We're from the late 90s till about now. Crosby and Ovechkin carried the mantle, and they were amazing. Sid is going to go down as one of the great players of all time, and Alex is too. More importantly, what they've done for the game and for the cities that they live in, Washington and Pittsburgh, they're both champions. And we sort of pass the mantle now to guys like Matthews and McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon, oh, McCarr. These kids are amazing. They're good kids. They work hard. They understand this position they're in, the spotlight they're in. The game is probably in a better position now than it's ever been, and they should feel proud about that because they work hard, and you know what? It's a tough grind, but they all live up to it. But what Crosby and Ovechkin did, they carried the mantle for a good 20 years, and they deserve a lot of credit.
Getting engaged is special for so many reasons. You plan the perfect proposal. You've probably been proposed to a lot, Dana. Celebrate the love.
I proposed to myself a couple times. Far.
I do it in the mirror just to see.
Do you take yourself?
You look forward to the love you'll build for the rest of your lives. The only part that's not so special, wah, wah, shopping for an engagement ring. You don't know what you're doing. If you don't know what you're doing, which most guys don't, You got to hustle over to BlueNile.com. That's where they come in.
That BlueNile.com is the original online jeweler. Since 1999, they've helped millions of couples create their perfect engagement ring.
With Blue Nile, you can create a bigger, more brilliant piece than you can imagine at a price you won't find at a traditional jeweler.
Nope. They're committed to ensuring that the highest ethical standards are observed when sourcing diamonds and jewelry, David.
Blue Nile also offers a diamond price guarantee, which means that they can usually meet or beat a competitor's price on a comparable diamond. That's what you don't want to find out later, that you spent way too much, because they cost a lot anyway. I mean, they're diamonds.
Yeah, you're off the reservation when you're going door to door and going into all these jewelry stores and they're selling you, and then you have a much better way to do this. You don't want to find out that you paid multiple months' salary on a ring.
Right,
you could have gotten at a much better deal. I mean, it's, look, I'm just going to say it. Blue Nile's a no-brainer.
When you make a lifelong commitment, so does Blue Nile, you get guaranteed service and repair for life.
Yes.
And don't worry, your secret's safe. Every Blue Nile order is insured and arrives in packaging that won't give it away, because that can ruin it. Sometimes if I was getting a diamond ring, I would make sure they put on the outside porn so you wouldn't think it was a diamond ring.
I always have it say big, non-surprising diamond ring. That'd be on the outside of the package. No, you want it hidden in secret so that the loved one opens it and is doubly excited because they didn't see it coming.
They offer 100% satisfaction guarantee with guaranteed free shipping and returns.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you can get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code FLY at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code FLY at BlueNile.com.
Let's say it again. That's $50 off with code FLY at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/fly. netsuite.com/fly. netsuite.com/fly.
You know, someone once said you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. Do you like that it's on The Office and it's like super famous?
I got to be honest. I'm tired of seeing it. I see it everywhere.
It's funny. They put Wayne Gretzky and then underneath that,
it's
Michael
a great
Scott.
Quote.
Yeah, it's funny as shit that he steals it and still gives it to you. Also, your lovely daughter was in Grown Ups 2, which Spade had a part in. Met her on that. She was perfectly sweet and polite and nice, and I hope she had fun on that. She seems to be doing well. I see her out in the world. I don't see her personally, but I see she's doing great.
Yeah, she's doing unreal. Two beautiful grand boys that, you know, people say to me all the time, isn't it great being a grandparent? I'm like, we're not normal grandparents. They travel 2 weeks a month, and I'm like a father again. I said, I got to get up at 6:30. Janet makes some breakfast. We take them to school, and it's all fun. But we're not like those regular grandparents that hand them back at the end of the day.
Wow.
My son and his wife and daughter live here, and my other son and his fiance live here. So we're all here except for the two kids in college. We're in Florida, and it's really nice.
Wow. Yeah, you just seem really, really, really blessed with this family. What I want to talk about for a second is the revolution in marketing. Like, I bet Gordon Howe didn't make that much money during his career, but now athletes create global brands and all kinds of things. And you're probably the most successful hockey player as a post-career entrepreneur I believe, or one of them. I just wanted to call that out. Greatness wins, because I watched a documentary on Misty Copeland last night, or she was on a Gardner's show. Anyway, she's a partner with you and Derek Jeter, doing that's still going on. Do you have a beer company or a sort of or any kind of winery?
I have a winery in Canada, which some people know about, some people don't. We're in Niagara-on-the-Lake.
Been there.
Before the pandemic, we were probably one of the most visited wineries in the world, about 500,000 people a year. Partly because 4 million people a year go to Niagara Falls for their honeymoons. We're 10 minutes away from that, but we put out a really nice red wine, white wine, ice wine, vodka, whiskey, beer. I have a great partner who's been in the business with his family since 1955. We have an outdoor hockey rink in the wintertime. The kids can skate and play hockey and have games. So, you know what? Listen, I said this earlier. Everything I have in hockey or in life is because of hockey. Doors have opened and people I've met. As you said, being with Misty and Derek, with Greatness Wins, I originally started with Untuckit as an investor, and that company did well, and he decided to branch out, Chris. And you know what? Listen, I can't thank enough my family and friends and people I've met. It's just been a lot of fun for all of us.
It seems like it maybe satisfies, I don't know about Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson, it satisfies a little bit of post-athletics competitiveness in a way. So you want to win at investing and have your product be the best product. So it feels like it's a natural fit just for something. It's exciting.
It's exciting, and I love it, and I'm enjoying it. And actually, 2 weeks ago, Derek and I had dinner together, and Derek's a little bit more involved day-to-day than I am. But the truth be told, for me, the competitive spirit of winning hockey games is everything. And winning championships, to replace that, I don't think I'll ever have that same high. That's just me being honest. But I'm loving what I'm doing, being a grandparent. My family is everything. And I'm lucky that my kids are healthy and my wife deserves a lot of credit. The greatest compliment you can get as a parent is when people say, you know what, your kids are so polite. And that's because of my wife and how she raised them. She was around way more than I was when I was working. But I feel very fortunate. I've lived a wonderful life and met some wonderful people, been to some great cities. I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's been very enjoyable.
I had a quick question on another frequency. As hockey movies go,
yeah,
Slapshot with Paul Newman, Mighty Ducks with Emilio Estevez, or Miracle on Ice with Kurt Russell. I don't know if you've seen them, but those are three.
I've seen them all.
Okay, well, let's rank them.
You ever seen the Gabby Duguid movie? I think President Ronald Reagan played a New York Ranger in 1947. You have to get a tape of that one day. It was actually pretty good. He would get penalties on purpose, so get in the penalty box and talk to this pretty lady that he ended up marrying. And I think the movie was called Gabby. That was one of the hockey movies I ever saw. But I'll rate them like this. Slapshot, one of the handsome brothers I played professionally with, Steve Carlson, 1 year in Edmonton. I enjoyed Mighty Ducks because Michael Eisner used to come to a lot of the hockey games with Janet. And he said, I'm going to do a hockey movie called The Mighty Ducks. And then I'm going to have an NHL team called The Mighty Ducks. And I remember saying to him at dinner one night, you're crazy. How can you have an NHL team named The Mighty Ducks? What do I know? And then the third one was Caddyshack, right?
Miracle on Ice. That was about the Olympics.
We went to the premiere of The Miracle on Ice. And unfortunately, Mr. Brooks had just passed away. It was very emotional. It was a wonderful movie. You know, it's hard for me to pick one because they're so different, but I will tell you this. Rob Lowe did a movie with Patrick Swayze called Youngblood,
which
was the 80s. And he called me one day and he said, can I come out and skate with you guys? I'm doing this movie in Toronto. We came out and skated in a morning skate with the, I was playing on Edmonton then, in a morning shoot around, him and David Foster, and they came out and skated. And he was actually a really good athlete. He was good. So a lot of the younger people love that movie, Youngblood. But all in all, the enjoyment of winning the gold medal, Miracle on Ice, was pretty special.
Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah. Kurt Russell's great.
Kurt Russell as a character, that coach, again. They're training him all night long. I mean, he was just torturing them in a good way.
Yeah, it's great. Before I go, before Wayne goes and then Dana goes third. I wanted to say, Wayne, first of all, thanks for talking to us. And I don't see you a lot, but when I do on the golf course, you're very polite, very cool to me. Your wife, very sweet, fleeced me for maybe $300-$400. It's fine. Dana, his wife, plays, and she's, of course, great. And then, of course, I got roped into whatever. And anyway, I lost money, long story short. But I think it's a business write-off, I think. And that's it. And Dana, anything else you want to tell this young man before we go?
I just want to say thanks for coming on. And you're our first athlete host, I believe. So Peyton Manning also did a great job hosting. Michael Jordan, they're always welcome. But you're our first, and my first superstar athlete on that show was your show. And it always crossed my mind as a special show. And just been a pleasure talking to you. I call you the great one of life. Put hockey aside.
Yeah, it's got a lot going on.
Oh, by the way, one last thing, just the NHL Turner Sports show that you do for Turner Sports National Hockey League that you just started doing, right, last year, is kind of like Charles Barkley. It's sort of like Kenny Smith. Yeah. Are you enjoying that?
I love it. I couldn't be with a better company, and the people are so nice. And Charles, obviously, we see him a lot there because our studios are side by each. It's just been a wonderful fit, and I get to be around hockey periodically, and I couldn't be happier. And I want to thank you two guys for taking the time to talk to me, and you guys are always great to me, and I wish you all the best of luck with your podcast. Hope it goes great.
Thank you. We're doing great. Shout out to Paul Bissonnette, Anson Carter, and Liam McHugh. I think I got those names right, your partners.
If you need me to help you with any of the other athletes who do your show, call me.
Thank
all
you,
right,
Wayne.
Buddy.
Take care. Have a good day. Appreciate it.
This has been a podcast presentation of Cadence 13. Please listen, then rate, review, and follow all episodes. Available now for free wherever you get your podcast.
No joke, folks.
Fly on the Wall has been a presentation of Cadence 13, executive produced by Dana Carvey and David Spade, Chris Corcoran of Cadence 13, and Charlie Finan of Brillstein Entertainment.
The show's lead producer is Greg Holtzman, with production and engineering support from Serena Regan and Chris Basil of Cadence 13.